Welcome back into Sports Talk on the eve of training camp. We just heard Mickey Loomis speak to the media the last segment. That was part one. We're going to get into part two right away as the Saints executive vice president and general manager addresses the media before the Saints kick off training camp. Here it is.
Is there ever a point, like from your chair, though, when you're looking at the future and being in a reset, so to speak, where you look at, you know, hey, next year, maybe embracing the rebuild of it, and all right, is there a benefit of winning six games, or is it better for us to maybe try to win them all, but set it up so that maybe it's four and we're picking a little
bit higher? Yeah, I don't believe in that. I believe you go in doing everything you can to be successful, to win every game, and then you deal with the consequences of the season afterwards. Yet, look, I also recognize we've got a young team here. You know, we've got a lot of developmental pieces, and the most important position in the building is inexperience, and so that's the reality of it. And so we have to be, we can't put our head in the closet and not recognize that. We do recognize that, and so we have to be particularly good in a lot of other areas and develop the quarterback.
This might be another one of those things that exists really outside for you than inside. But the idea of team identity, so having a young team, a young roster, and things like that, does that make it more challenging to build a team identity? And if not, what do you see sort of as a team identity?
I think that's what training camp and this whole off season and training camp and the season. That's what it's for. You know, it's not something that happens overnight. I mean, look what Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes did in Detroit. That didn't happen overnight. It happened over the span of three years. And so inside the league, we recognize that that doesn't always happen overnight. Occasionally it does happen within the span of a short time, but most of the time it takes a while to build that.
Do you embrace that? Do you embrace the fact that, you know what, if we're being realistic, this is not a one-year reset? That was the word you used before. Mm-hmm. It's going to be 2 or 3 years. Like, are you okay with saying that, with like embracing that this is not a one-year reset? It's going to take a couple of years to get us where we want to be?
I think that gets back to aspirations versus expectations, right? The expectations out there is that it's going to take a long time, but, our goals are still the same. Our goals are to win every game and to win the NFC South, and that's what we're working towards. So what you're asking is kind of this intangible thing that, you guys think about, but I don't know that we think about it in those terms.
When you mentioned having to be good in other areas, with obviously an experience at quarterback, now with obviously, Tyron's retirement right before the start of training camp, how do you feel about the depth of the secondary with that?
Yeah, I think part of that is, hey, are the younger guys that we have developing? How quickly are they going to develop? I think we have the makings of a really good offensive line, for example. We've put a lot of resources there, but there's some development that needs to take place. We have young offensive tackles, and we have a great center, and Trevor's moving to guard. So we've got some moving pieces there, but I think we believe that we've got a lot of talent there, and this could be a really, really good offensive line and can be a strength of our team. How long that takes, we'll see. There's a lot of elements on defense that we feel the same way about. So that's what training camp's all about, to see how quickly that comes together and how quickly that gels. That'll determine how successful we are.
Maybe I'm understanding this is probably part of the process every year, but just considering all the injuries you went through last year.
Yeah.
How much of a reset did you guys take this offseason, just kind of evaluating what you're doing, how you're doing it, and trying to course correct it?
Yeah.
Obviously, Ted Raff is a big part of that.
Yeah, it's a huge part of that. And that's been really one of the really bright spots, I think, of this offseason, is to see, how we've attacked that issue and how that's come together. And we'll see the results, as we go forward. We'll see how effective that is. We're going to have injuries. We know that. But hopefully we can minimize some of the things that we've had in the past, and particularly in the soft tissue area.
You want to know what sort of effort kind of went into that?
Yeah. Look, it's a lot of analytical information. It's a lot of load management, a lot of assessment of each individual player. So it's really a lot of things, a lot of variables. But so far, it's been really, really positive. And he's had a good history of effective results in the places that he's been.
You mentioned
mentioned Taysom Hill will start on the pup list, but, you know, all conversations with him, he's definitely going to play this year. He's definitely going to be medically on schedule, on time to play by week one and all that.
Well, I don't know about the timing, but everything's been really positive for both he and Foster.
We talked about a young team, and we've also got the makeup with some older guys. Retiring, just and Derek both retiring this offseason. How important is it for you all, and maybe you've already identified some younger players that can step into that leadership role and be the next
I think that we've got, you know, we've got some guys, and I'm not going to name them individually, but we've got some young players that have those kind of traits, and they've got great role models like Cam and DeMario, and there's some others as well that can step into those roles when those guys are ready to step out of it. But I think that gets back to the, you know, when we go through the process of bringing players in, you know, going through the character, going through trying to, you know, get guys that were captains in college and were leaders on their team, and making sure that we had a lot of those guys that can eventually fill that role. So I feel good about that in terms of the future. And yeah.
What was your approach to the defensive line? Obviously, they brought back Chase.
Yep.
Fire.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're, you know, scheme change, you know, getting guys that fit what Brandon wants to do with the defense, and identifying the traits that the guys that we have and how they're going to fit, you know, that was important. And then, you know, availability too is important. You know, what's available in terms of free agents, you know, what can we get in the draft? And so that's what dictates it.
What are your expectations going into the first day of training camp?
Maybe
not expectations, aspirations.
There you go. Good get. That's a good catch. I think just having a great camp, seeing the young players develop, seeing how our guys adapt to, you know, the new coaching staff and the schemes that they want to establish with our team, that's going to be important. And look, that process has already happened in large part in the off season, but look, I'm anxious to get started and see where guys are.
You've been part of seasons that, like, where the aspirations have been exceeded.
Now everybody's using aspirations, right?
You're never going to hear expectations.
You're not going to take the bait on expectations.
Yeah,
but you know, the 2006, where the seasons were like everyone thought you were rebuilding, that was first. Like, what does it take in those types of seasons to, you know, surpass expectations or meet those level of aspirations that you have?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think you get back to chemistry. You know, do the guys, you know, do you feel like a group comes together with you know, new players, new staff? Do they, you know, immediately buy in? Do you have great chemistry? Are they playing for the right reasons? You know, all those things that, you know, you catch lightning in a bottle sometimes. We did that in 06, right? And, you know, teams can do that. So that all happens during the course of the offseason and training camp. And then you have to stay healthy, too. Listen, health in our league is a really important factor, because if you can't keep your best players on the field, then your chances of being successful quickly diminish.
Do you talk to them about that? Or do you just, like, that's another chapter, that's another time in another place? Or do you talk to Kelvin and these coaches about, in 06, catching lightning? I remember the preseason, you know, and then all of a sudden the regular season started.
Right.
It was a much different type of situation.
Yeah, I think that all of these guys, you know, their experience, they've been on teams and been part of teams that have done that, and they've been part of teams that had higher aspirations and went the other direction. So we've all been part of those teams, and you just recognize that what happens or that what can happen. And so, you know, we haven't had discussions about that specifically, no.
What about the older guys who are still on the roster, DeMario, Cam? What do you think they can still contribute?
I would say the same thing to, you know, what happens with those players is, man, we want them to play as long as they can. And both those guys have demonstrated that they, you know, they can still play. And so that's what we're looking. We're looking to see it. What did Sean used to say? I don't have to see it every day, but I still got to see it in training camp. And so that's the case for every veteran player, you know, with every team, is that hey, you want to make sure that they can still play at a high level. And you want to set them up for that success, too. So that's what we'll be looking to do.
Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis talking there. And yeah, just to catch folks up to speed on some of the transactions today for the Black and Gold, you heard a little bit him talking with Taysom Hill on the physically unable to perform list. Also, Foster Moreau, the tight end, going on there as well. Waived was Dallin Holker, who subsequently afterwards ends up retiring from football. That was the undrafted tight end that was heading into year two of his career. Decided to step away from football, though, and then on the reserve list to the retired list for Tyrann Mathieu, the good old Honey Badger. What a hell of a career it's been for him. And I just still laugh at the, you know, coming out into the draft, there was all that knock against him because of, you know, marijuana usage.
Yeah, off the field.
And happened to go into the perfect situation out to Arizona with Patrick Peterson and, you know, his father over there helping to just be a good mentor. And you saw the player in college, you saw the player that he was, but the person that Honey Badger ends up, Tyrann Mathieu, becomes a truly great gift to Louisiana and all the charity work he does here. Love the passion he plays with. Also, the fact that the love that he has for this state as well, and look forward to seeing what's going to be next for Tyrann Mathieu after football now.
You know, Mike called him one of one, a 5'9" safety that lasted 12 years in the NFL. Yeah. Tyrann Mathieu is incredible. He is a great story about, you know, after the adversity that he faced early on, right? Late in his LSU career, and then leading into the draft where he ends up being a third round pick by the Cardinals, and then he parlays that to a 12-year NFL career. It doesn't get much better than Tyrann Mathieu as far as someone that made something of themselves and took that talent and grew as a person as well. Yeah. He's fantastic.
And it wasn't here, but two-time Super Bowl champ with the Chiefs, so he's got that championship to his name as well.
Yeah, he got the championship. He made a few all-pro lists. He made a couple of Pro Bowls, 2010s all-decade team as well, Steve.
Yeah, just a stud all around. Definitely going to be missed on this Saints squad, especially in the locker room, just because of the presence he brings and how many of those young players look up to Tyrann Mathieu. Everybody knows who the heck he is.
Exactly. So now it's going to be kind of interesting because he was that top dog of the secondary. He was kind of the, when we talked about the leaders on the Saints defense, we always mentioned that there was one at each level.
Right.
Right. With Cam Jordan on the defensive line and DeMario Davis in the linebacker room. And then Tyrann Mathieu is the leader of the secondary. So it'll be interesting to see who takes that role. When y'all asked Kellen about it, he says he sounded like, you know, Justin Reed was going to kind of step into those shoes.
He
right?
definitely seems like the person. From hearing him talk, I know he hasn't been here long enough yet to really be that, you know, so-called alpha dog in the group, but I think he'll earn it.
Yeah, I think Alante's probably going to become the alpha dog of the Saints' defensive backfield. But as far as kind of the leader that barks everything out, that Mike is always emphasizing how important that is, it could be Justin Reed because he's been there, done that. He's also won a Super Bowl with the Chiefs. So, you know, we'll see if he can kind of step into the safety room and kind of be that top dog. Because right now, the question mark is, who's next to Justin Reed?
Right.
It's not about Justin Reed. The Justin Reed signing is going to end up paying dividends because of what happened with Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah,
it's,
suddenly that quarterback battle, the number two most interesting job is going to be who's going to be taking that starting safety gig.
Yeah, safety number two right next to Reed.